You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, it's all been leading up to this. We have had incredible guests tonight. Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald in the second hour, of course, our own intrepid correspondent, Sean Bergen, in the first hour. We've been talking about the Trump press conference. We've been talking about grading the Trump administration through its first month on the job, Trump's rally in Melbourne, Florida today, and much, much more. But what we're going to focus on this hour in depth with just me and Eddie, just yours truly and the Bombardier, we are going to talk about the fact that Trump declared the fake news media the enemy of the American people. That is a direct quote. He said the media is the enemy of the American people. If they are the enemy of the American people, they are also the enemy of the state. What do you do with enemies of the state? So this third hour, yours truly and the Bombardier are going to be offering legal remedies available to the Trump administration for combating the media and other insurrectionists, other radicals who violate the boundaries of the Constitution and the First Amendment. In the third hour of last week's show, which I thought was incredible, Eddie made mention of the Alien and Sedition Acts that were put forth by President John Adams way back in 1798. I've been thinking about that ever since Eddie brought it up. Eddie said Trump needs to lock up the press. Well, I said, if you lock up the press, you're going to get impeached. He said, then you lock up the Congress also.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to start there. Now, that may sound reactionary to y'all, and certainly it is reactionary.
I hope so.
It is reactionary compared to what you would expect from any administration going back many, many, many years. But it is not unprecedented in American history. And what we're offering here are, again, legal and constitutional remedies. What the problem with America is, we have become too desensitized and too numb to the treason that abounds in America.
It is treason.
We've become too numb to it. We have a government that advocates for felonious law-breaking illegal aliens and terrorists to come into this country without any vetting or without any restrictions whatsoever. We have a Congress and a media that advocates for murdering its own citizens in the womb. Yeah. I mean, how numb must you be? All right. Now, Eddie, you served this country twice as a member of its armed forces. You were a combat medic in Vietnam. You took an oath similar to what the president takes when he's sworn in.
It's almost identical.
Give us that oath, and let's go from there, and then we'll take a caller in a minute.
Okay, now I took the oath. I tried to print up on the way over here because we had to change topics. People give us a little attitude because we had prepared for a totally different show. Found out about an hour and a half ago we're going to do this. But I will give you the oath I took in a nutshell. And anybody who's ever been in the military did it. You took an oath basically to defend the Constitution of the United States, not the mom and apple pie, not the country. We took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Domestic. See, this
so help me God. We took that oath. The president of the United States, I'll paraphrase it. He took basically the same oath. He says he swore the Bible to fulfill the office of the President of the United States and to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Domestic is the key because domestic. You can be an American citizen and still be in violation of the Constitution, be an enemy of the people, an enemy of the state, as Trump has declared the media to be. And if you are, in fact, that, what?
How about Jonathan Pollard? Does anybody know? Do you remember the name of Jonathan Pollard? Does that ring a bell? Jonathan Pollard was a Jewish American citizen who had his loyalties lie elsewhere. He was one of the greatest spies in American history. James, he was an American citizen. He was convicted of spying, and he was put in prison. He should have been executed like the Rosenbergs,
Yes, yes. They gave the secrets to the Russians.
That's right.
When they were communists, not when they were good like they are now.
I'll ask you, James, I'll use one of your terms. Is this a rhetorical question? Were they citizens? Of course they were American citizens. What happened to them? The Rosenbergs were executed for treason, as they should have been. Pollard was executed for treason. They were American citizens. They were enemies of the state. They were enemies of the Constitution. They got their just dues. What's going on right now here in the United States is we're seeing, just like Trump, he said that the press they are the criminals. And listen, I'm going to briefly mention the...
And Eddie, that's stout for a sitting American president to say that the press is, the media is the enemy of the American people. That is stout for a president to say, and he is exactly right.
It is true. He is right on.
So what do you do about it?
They're
what does
lying.
He do about it?
Listen, I know for sure, for instance, they lie from sunup to sundown. They constantly tell lies. They're constantly trying to stir up insurrection in this country. Let me briefly skip to the Alien and Sedition Act. I don't have a copy of that with me, but I will briefly kind of paraphrase, kind of put it in a nutshell. Like you mentioned earlier, James, the Alien and Sedition Act of 1798 by John Adams, and this is the one time that I disagree with Thomas Jefferson. I could see some of his points, but...
Well, it's just like Davy Crockett and Andrew Jackson were adversaries, but yeah. You couldn't go wrong. No matter who yeah. wins, we win, and that as opposed to where in recent history, no matter who wins, we lose. When it's men of that caliber, you can't really go wrong. But yes, I agree with Adams over Jefferson in this issue.
Amen, because Adams at the time, we had impending war with France. France had captured 100, 200 naval or vessels. They had enemies here in the United States. We had a large French population. He accused the so-called Republican Party in those days, the Jeffersonian parties were saying that Adams was discriminating against them, locking their people up, as a political crusade. But what he was trying to do was trying to protect the United States of America against these spies, against people whipping up, another revolution. Because remember, people, this was just 9 years after the Constitution of the United States was signed. 1798, the Constitution came into effect in 1789. This was 9 years later. We were still a fledgling country. England was trying to win us back. France was trying to conquer this country. He took powers. Here's what he said, I'm going to paraphrase it. The president of the United States has the power to defend the citizens of the United States, to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, against all foreign invaders, against all foreign people that have a foreign alien alliance, have a foreign loyalty, that are trying to any way, verbally, in print, physically wise, to whip people up into insurrection. In insurrection, let me tell you what insurrection means. Insurrection is an act or instance of rising in revolt, rebellion, or resistance against civil authority or an established government. That's what they were trying to do. So Adams was having these clowns locked up. He had some people locked up. He had some representatives of the Congress locked up, just like we mentioned the last week's show, James, just like Lincoln did. Lincoln had some locked up. And people, we're going to come right back to this. We're going to really get to the meat of this thing as soon as this commercial is over.
We're going to give you a little more detail on the history of the Alien and Sedition Act, how Trump could revive that and use it for the benefit of the American people. But first, before we do any of that,
and we're going to trump that act with the oath.
And we've got a caller from Iowa that we have to get to who's been very patient, as all of our callers have been tonight. We're going to get to him, to you, sir, right after this. So stay tuned for that. Good sense.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I want to move very quickly with this, and we got to get to a caller. Then I want to toss it back to Eddie. Eddie is well prepared for this hour, and I want the spotlight to shine most brightly on Eddie this hour. But we're talking about the fact that Trump himself has declared that sitting president of the United States has declared the fake news media, quote unquote, the enemy of the American people. If they are the enemy of the state, then you need to lock them up. And there is a precedent for that. I even put forth two tweets this week. Time for the president to revisit the Alien and Sedition Acts and expel subversive members of Congress and the press. The people are with Donald Trump, and I sincerely hope that he does declare the enemy, the media, the enemy of the states, and takes them out. See Alien and Sedition Acts. So what is the Alien and Sedition Acts? They were a series of four bills passed by and signed into law by President John Adams in 1798. They made it harder for an enemy to become a citizen. That was the Naturalization Act. They allowed the president to imprison and deport non-citizens who were deemed dangerous or who were from hostile nations. That was the Alien Act. And they criminalized the making of false statements that were critical of the federal government. That was the Sedition Act. So those four acts in harmony, I guess you could say, were the Alien and Sedition Acts. They also allowed the president to deport anyone in the United States who was not a citizen, who was suspected of treason or treasonous activity. Anyone who makes false statements against the president, purposefully, that was criminalized. Now, as you mentioned, Thomas Jefferson overturned most of those laws, but it just goes to show that there is an American precedent, that a sitting American president, and let me tell you something, Trump is great, but he didn't have anything compared to John Adams or Jefferson or George Washington or Quincy Adams or any of these people that actually fought for freedom, fought in the Revolutionary War. So the precedent is on the books, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to take something like that to take this country back. Otherwise, the press and the courts and the traitors in Congress and corporate America and the lobbyists are going to stymie Trump at every turn until his term is up. Let's go quickly to Iowa and then back to Eddie. Iowa, you're on the air.
Hi, James. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, I actually thought I had hit the mute button, so I was a little worried.
No problem.
Tell me if you agree with this sort of theory. I mean, it's off topic, but from your part of the country, the southern United States, it's a theory, I think, that in some ways it's like, I mean, you're in Rita, you know what a delay is, but it's like on a 50-century-long delay where, like, a lot of the trends that you saw, you know, maybe earlier in the 20th century are just starting to occur, like urbanization and stuff like that. You know, like, if you look at the people who have been elected in the South, you know, it wasn't, like, all that long ago that everybody was conservative. But in some states, like Virginia and Florida, you're starting to see, like, a real two-party system where you, you know, the Dems are urban and then the, you know, Republicans are rural and, you know, not unlike in other northern states. But it's sort of, do you kind of get what I'm sort of starting to say?
Yeah, and thank. Let me address that, and thank you very much for the call. We have a busy hour, and I want to give your comment the proper treatment, and we also have to move on to some stuff that we have to cover before the end of the hour. When I was running for office back in 2002, it was told to me that a much bigger Rubicon than Republican and Democrat exists between rural and urban. And I agree with that. I agree with that entirely, that is a line of demarcation that kind of even transcends conservative and liberal. But here in the South, it's interesting. Of course, there was a flip between what Democrats were in the 50s and 60s and what Republicans are now. But we actually do have fairly conservative governments here in the South, although, in fact, here in Tennessee, just in the last few years, for the first time since Reconstruction, Republicans own the governorship and the state legislature. But, of course, the only problem is, as conservative as they may be on some social issues, they won't touch race, they won't touch Jewish power and influence, and that's where we step in. All right, now back to the topic at hand this hour, Eddie, go.
Well, actually the terms conservative and liberal should never even get in there. We should be thinking about what's rule of law. By the Constitution of the United States is the rule of law. And even after the South tried to exit the Union, which that was by constitutional law, by the Constitution, the South was allowed to secede from the Union. So the South did not try to break the Constitution then. And you know what? If you examine every state constitution in the South, you will see that it pretty much parrots the first Constitution of the United States.
But back to the Alien and Sedition Act, I don't want to get too off topic, although that was an important question, and we always want to take our audience.
So liberal and conservative, I don't recognize that term. I recognize the term either your constitutional rule of law or you're not.
But it is true that there's a difference between people who live in rural areas. If you don't believe me, hey, we're all in the South, but if you go to downtown Memphis, there's going to be a difference between the people in downtown Memphis and in Pontotoc, Mississippi. I can tell you that much.
That's right.
And, you know, we had some people tonight, Eddie, waiting 3 hours just to get a question in, 3 hours on the line to call in.
Bless their heart.
All right, they called in hours before the show started. All right, but back to the Alien and Sedition Act, and we want to stay on topic. What can Trump do that is legally and constitutionally sound that can he has got? Look, complaining about the press, mocking the press, it's important, it needs to be done, but action has to be taken. We have 4, maybe 8 years to set things right, because when Trump's out of office, there will never be another Donald Trump. There will never be another Donald Trump. It will always be establishment insiders. Trump was a once-in-a-civilization type candidate, so what can he do? He's got to get serious, though, and he's going to have to get drastic, and I think what we're talking is a drastic measure, but it is constitutionally and legally sound.
Well, he needs to recognize the problem, and I think he recognizes this. These people, including the press, and the people like we pounded George Soros to death, but he's just one of the very few insurrectionists. He needs to recognize the problem, and the problem is people in high places, including the media, are openly calling for overthrowing law and order. They're saying, and I've seen their banners, I've heard them say, "Become ungovernable." They're calling for people to become ungovernable. They're actually calling for the assassination of the president openly on the open news. That is a crime, people. That's against the Constitution of the United States. Okay, and we have talked about the Alien and Sedition Acts. That's precedent. John Adams had all these people
locked
up.
And it's important to show that there is precedent
in the
office of the presidency to take actions like we are subscribing tonight.
And I'll
or
go
prescribing
back,
tonight.
Absolutely. And I'll go back, like James, especially Sam. Sam's big. I don't know anybody more constitutionalist, bigger constitutionalist than Sam. The law of the land has been, since 1789, has been the Constitution of the United States. And like I said earlier, every constitution in the United States, in every state, even in the South, especially in the South, parrots the first constitution we had in 1789. These people are breaking the law. They're trying to destroy the Constitution. They're not trying to hide it. Look, you got people like Madonna calling for blowing up the White House. Every day you hear some celebrity calling for executing the president, for assassinating him. He needs to come out and call these people, like James said, they, and I include the media. The media has become an enemy of the state.
We have four, maybe eight years to set it straight. If he doesn't get radical, and I mean radical within the bounds of the Constitution, it's all for naught, and he'll be a
Absolutely.
Blip on the radar, and it's going to be over after he's done.
And you know what? He's going to have these people arrested and put on trial for treason. That's exactly what they're doing, because they're trying to overthrow the United States. It's exactly what – and I'll repeat that again. They're calling people to become ungovernable. They're calling for people to assassinate the president of the United States. He's got to come in and lock these people up. And, James, you've heard me, and I'll go back and say, well – there's the music again, people.
Every time the bombardier gets ready to open those bomb bay doors, there's a 1960s.
We're going
to
talk
hit.
About Kent State when we get back, folks.
Yes, we will. Those pop hits from the 60s always cut you off, don't they, Patrick?
They sure do.
We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Liberal Director Michael Moore apparently considers himself to be a walking constitutional convention, or so it would seem, given his creative depiction of the presidential order of succession, the process of impeachment, and other critical constitutional mechanisms. I and tens of millions of Americans demand that the weak and spineless Democrats bring Congress to a halt until investigative hearings are held and impeachment charges are filed against Donald Trump for supposedly colluding with the Russians to throw the election to him, wrote Moore in a Facebook post. Attorney General J. Beauregard Sessions must immediately appoint a special prosecutor to investigate these potentially treasonous acts, he continued, not explaining what role the special prosecutor would play in a congressional impeachment proceeding. If articles of impeachment are approved by the House, that body selects congressmen to prosecute the case in the Senate. So-called President Trump could save the country a lot of time, money, and pain by stepping down tonight, Moore insisted. Under Article 2 and the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, this would make Mike Pence the U.S. president, but Moore would find this to be unacceptable as well. Somehow our judicial system has to find a way to make restitution to this country. Pence can't be president, as he too was elected under the same fraud. The court has to rule either that the president is the winner of the popular vote, or the election must be held over. The demand would require the abolition of the Electoral College, which cannot be done without amending the Constitution.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support.
go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes those 60s pop hits can cut you off right when you're talking about the Alien and Seditions Act, but sometimes they can make you feel real good, too. And a Herman's Hermits always makes me feel real good. What about you, Pappy?
Makes me feel great. I remember that. I lived through those days.
I like a girl that's not too shy, too, as he was singing about.
You got that right, son.
Well, that was Peter Noon, the one and only, a.k.a. Herman of Herman's Hermits. We like the feel-good stuff. Only
yes,
we can infuse that in such a time as this. We're talking about such a important topic. But Pat Buchanan wrote an article about that this week. It's hard to get serious after you hear Herman's Hermits. But the deep state targets Trump. That was his the headline to his article. How does the deep state go about its work, Pat asked, who has been a regular guest on this show, or at least made irregular appearances. We've seen a classic example with General Flynn, who, of course, now Trump should never have had accepted his resignation, by the way.
But I agree. Well, let me make a comment about that. I agree wholeheartedly with some of the people I've heard say when he got rid of Flynn,
bad move.
They smelled blood in the water.
Bad move. That was a bad move by Trump. Basically, all that happened was
double
this.
Down.
All that happened was this. In the waning days of Barack Obama, during the transition from Trump's win to Trump taking the White House, Obama expelled several Russian diplomats. Now, during that time, General Flynn...
Under false pretenses.
Exactly. During that time, General Flynn explained to Russia that, hold your water, a new administration is coming, a new day is dawning in America, don't overreact. And Putin took him at his word. Putin expelled zero American diplomats from Russia. Putin, and in fact, extended to American diplomats invitations to the Russian Christmas party. So it was a good move by Flynn. Now, because of that, Flynn was said to have violated some sort of decorum. The intelligence and investigative arms of the regime dug up that dirt and then moved to their fourth estate collaborators who enjoy First Amendment immunity to get it out. Buchanan continues, for violating their oaths and breaking the law, bureaucratic saboteurs are held as quote-unquote whistleblowers, while the journalists who receive the fruits of their felonies put in for Pulitzers. So that's what happened there with General Flynn. So Trump made a mistake there in accepting his resignation. Flynn was a good man. But this goes back to what we're talking about. So you have people in the intelligence community leaking classified information to the press. The press then takes advantage of what Pat Buchanan said, their felonies, and puts in for Pulitzers.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't want to cut you off, but you know what? There's a war going on right now between Trump and the intelligence community, just like there was between John Fitzgerald Kennedy and the intelligence community. Now, what he needs to do, he needs to finish what JFK started. He needs to bust the CIA into 25,000 pieces. He needs to get rid of the CIA. He needs to get rid of the NSA. he needs to totally splinter them, because you know what? Those organizations do us no good. No, they're not there to protect the American people. They're there to spy on the American people. But I just wanted to get that in.
All right. Now, we want to go quickly to Don, and then we're going to continue this conversation. I'm not going to make any bones about it.
One quick move. Let me just one thing before I get this. Won't take but a second.
All right. Go quick,
and
then we'll get to Don.
In the Constitution of the United States, I found the oath of the
country. And by the way, I want to say this. I don't mean to interrupt you, Pappy, because you are my senior, and I respect my elders.
Well, that's quite all right.
Every night, this is the truth. I am not exaggerating, so help me God, strike me dead with a lightning bolt. There are three things that Eddie brings to work with him every Saturday night when he comes into the studio. A copy of the Constitution, his Bible, and a gun.
You got the order.
I might not have got him in the correct order, but holding it in his hand right now, Eddie is holding his pocket Constitution. But as any good red-blooded Southerner should do, he brings to work with him a Constitution, a Bible, and a gun. But go quickly and let's go to our caller in California.
I don't use stinking millimeters either. I use the American calibers, the ACP-45. I'm going to read this straight out of the Constitution.
We got to get to Don.
Here's the oath that the president takes. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath of affirmation. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the president, we'll talk about that in a minute, of the United States, and will, to the best of my ability, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And nowadays, they added, so help me God. So he's sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States and to execute his office as president.
And if these people are, in fact, enemies of the American people, if they're enemies of the American people, you would have to imagine they're enemies of the state, because the state is the extension of the citizenry.
And the Constitution.
What do you do with enemies of the state?
They're saying they become
ungovernable. That's what we're asking. All right, now, I don't want to hold our guest any longer. We have another segment to wrap this conversation up. But what I'm asking for, and I don't want to make any – I don't want to mince words.
No.
I'm asking for is Donald Trump to lock up, as John Adams did with the Alien and Seditions Act,
any enemy of the state.
And that includes
enemy of the Constitution of the United States.
That includes members of the press. And if members of Congress want to impeach him over that, you lock them up too. That's what I'm calling.
And they can't. One last
for.
Thing, and they cannot squawk and say you're violating our First Amendment. They wouldn't know the First Amendment if it fell on their head. They cannot overstep the boundaries of the First Amendment. They cannot do that. Lying and calling for insurrection is not under your First Amendment, fools.
Don in California. Don, take it away. You're always one of our favorite callers.
Yeah, thank you. And you're one of my favorite hosts and one of my favorite shows, but I really have to part company with you guys on this issue of the Sedition Act. I wrote my senior history thesis many years ago on that. The Sedition Act in this country was based on the English doctrine of seditious libel, which meant that criticism of the crown or duly constituted authority could be prosecuted as a crime. Interestingly,
1705. That was in 1705 what you're talking about.
No, it was before that. It was a 1606 case before the Star Chamber. That was where the crime of seditious libel was defined and established. In England in 1606. So it's an English doctrine that was used under the English doctrine of seditious libel, the truth not only was not a defense, it was said that the greater the truth, the greater the libel. So those are the historical versions of the sedition law. The United States sedition version of the Sedition Act made truth a defense. So it was kind of a step in the right direction, but it was enacted by the Federalists to protect Federalist political interest. It was a nakedly partisan political law, okay? It was used against critics of the Federalist regime. It was, and then Thomas Jefferson became the president, and they had actually had a political party called the Democratic Republicans. And
correct.
The United States Congress repealed the law, thank God. Interesting thing about that is that Southern juries who opposed the Federalists would not convict under this law, whereas Northern juries would. And so you had publishers and writers fleeing to the South because it was less likely that they could be convicted. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It was a partisan political measure, and it was a regional political measure. And thank God it was repealed. And we've gotten along for 200 years without it, and we don't need it now. My friends, we are winning the battle.
My friend, hold up.
It's now when we are winning.
Let me ask you a question.
This law to silence us.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Hold up. Okay, I totally disagree with you that they were using, that John Adams used that just, totally against the Republicans. I cannot disagree with you more. Let me ask you this. When you have people, sir, marching in the streets, calling for the destruction of the Constitution, calling for people to become ungovernable, setting cars on fires, bombing houses, beating people up that want to exercise their First Amendment, what would you do?
I want to give Don, I want to reiterate that Don is one of our favorite callers. He's one of our most astute and intelligent callers.
I want to
give Don the floor at the top of the next segment to answer your question, Eddie, and we'll hash this out together, and we'll all part company as gentlemen. So stay tuned, Don, if you don't mind hanging on to the call. I don't want to cut you off at the break just because we have a break. So stay tuned and we'll get back to you.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I wish Don and the rest of our audience could have been privy to the conversation that we just had during that 3-minute commercial break. Sam Bushman descended from upon high to set us all straight. He took issue with both sides of the argument that we've been having on the air. He took issue with the side that Eddie and I have. Probably a lot more with Don's side on this, but hey, here's the thing. I will admit that it is personal with me. When it comes to the media especially, it's very personal. 99% of the nation has not been through what I've been through with the press. Donald Trump would be one part of the 1% that has been through more than I have been through
and
with
your
the press.
Congressman.
So with me, it's been very personal. I want to see them punished. Honestly, God forgive me.
I
will ask forgiveness for this in advance because I want them to burn in hell. I want them to burn next to Lincoln and to Sherman.
Forever and ever and ever.
But listen, God forgive me if I'm in error there and in sin.
You're not.
But thank you, Eddie. Listen.
Read the 145th Psalm.
What I went through, go read through what we posted the last couple of days of December of 16. Read through the Political Cesspool's top 20 moments of 2016. I got to say this because we got to get back to Don. Our caller takes precedent, even over us. Read through what we went through with the press last year where they were calling us slave traders and slave owners and all this other stuff, which they know is a lie, but it didn't matter because they were pushing the narrative. How could you not hold them in contempt? And so I think that we are standing on somewhat legal precedent here. Of course, Don, our very astute and intelligent caller, takes some issue with us, and we're going to give him the floor. And we're not going to grandstand because we're the host. We're going to give him the floor and let him say his piece, and then we're going to give you, of course, your piece as well, Eddie. Go, Don.
Well, it's personal with me, too, because when I was a journalist in my college years, I was threatened with physical violence by the Black Student Union. And they came to the newspaper office to beat me up, and I wasn't there, so they beat up some flowerhead instead. I guess they thought all white people looked the same, and beating up one white person was just as good as another. But it's also personal with me at another level. I've been a lawyer for longer than a lot of the people listening to this show have been alive, and I have never wavered in my defense of freedom of speech. I have represented named open white nationalists and won cases based on the First Amendment, on the various rights set forth therein. We do not need to destroy the First Amendment in order to deal with bombing and beating people and vandalism and assassination threats. None of those are protected under the First Amendment. They are all felonies under existing law. Moreover, we don't need a sedition law to deal with threats of insurrection. There is a federal statute that was enacted in 1956, 15 U.S. Code 332. It says whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, assemblages, or rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impracticable to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service, blah, blah, blah. This was used as the justification in 1957. I'm sure that year will set off alarm bells with you.
You just described the Sedition Act.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. You just paraphrased the Sedition Act, Hoss.
Okay, allow me to finish, and then you can have your say, okay? This statute was used in 1957 by the Eisenhower administration to deploy the United States Armed Forces to deal with opposition to rulings of the federal courts, which required mandatory integration of the schools.
And it was, Little Rock, Arkansas.
It was out there to remove obstructions to justice in respect to the enrollment and attendance at public schools in Little Rock School District. This statute was passed in 1956. It's never been challenged. When you're dealing with physical obstruction, such as beatings and shutting down airports and highways, these deal with interstate commerce, which are well within the jurisdiction of the federal government. You don't need a sedition law to deal with that. These are already felonies. Threatening to assassinate the president, already a felony. Be careful what you wish for. If you have a law that if you want to reinstitute a law that can be used as in a partisan political manner, as the Sedition Act of 98 was used, how long do you think it's going to be before that law is turned on you?
Hey, man, hold up a minute. What you're talking about, you're trying to split hairs. The Sedition Act, you describe the Sedition Act. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about people openly calling for the overthrow of the United States. And as a typical lawyer, you get all wrapped up in this crap and all this long-winded pseudo-intellectual arguments. People are calling for the overthrow of the United States, man. And the President of the United States took the same oath I did. He took the same oath I did to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and against people that can't understand the law like you. And he should do what it takes, what the law takes.
We don't need to put people in jail for advocating things that would never be supported. It's when they take action that they can be criminally prosecuted. We've gone on for 200 years without this law. We don't need it now. Most recently, by the way, it was used by FDR to silence people who were opposed to his practices. Do not force me to side with people who side with FDR. You are wrong on this.
No, you're wrong. All right, look, I will say this. We have gotten some feedback from some of our most loyal contributors, who bring up great points. One saying, Don knows what he's talking about. Another saying, I agree with Don. Do you want another Lincoln? Now, I can understand this. Now, listen, I will admit that I'm a little more Machiavellian when it's somebody that we like in power. But here's the difference between what I think is the difference between Trump and Lincoln and what we're advocating for and what Lincoln did is that Lincoln absolutely violated the Constitution in locking up state legislatures like those in Missouri and putting those who opposed him. What the Sedition Act, going back to that, technically said was you could not lock up people. You could lock up people for making false statements against the government. I think a lot of the criticism against Lincoln was certainly very much sound and constitutionally sound. So I think there is a difference between what Lincoln did. No, we don't want another Lincoln just because it's somebody that we like. And so I think there is a little bit of a difference there in that Lincoln was very much unconstitutional. He was probably the most unconstitutional and tyrannical president we've ever had.
These people are calling for the insurrection of the United States. It's cut and dry. We don't need 52 lawyers and 52 dead members of the Dead Poets Society to tell us what the Constitution says and what it tells us what the rule of law says. When these people are calling for the insurrection of the United States, when they're calling for the overthrow of the United States, and they have, they're saying become ungovernable, they're saying assassinate the President of the United States, they need to be locked up.
But Bushman
they need
says
to have a
this,
trial.
Due process due first and innocent
oh,
until proven
we're
going to
let them burn the country down. There won't be any due process left if we let these clowns continue to shoot people and burn cars and burn your home down. You know, once your home is burned down and your whole city is burning down, and that's what they're calling for. They're calling for
burning,
destruction in the United States.
Down,
you put them in jail.
All right, let's give Don the last one.
Idiot.
Go, Eddie. Go, Don. Excuse me. Go, Don.
First of all, burning down cities is not a free speech issue. It is a crime. It is not protected speech. Neither is calling for the assassination of someone. It is not protected speech to solicit the commission of a crime, to solicit the commission of a felony. That is not protected speech, even under existing law. You don't need a new law to deal with that. You need new law enforcement. What do you think is going to happen to me here in Mexican-occupied California when sedition laws are legal and constitutional, and the state legislature, which is run by Mexicans, passes a law to silence me? I don't want to be dragged into court and have you know, Mexicans on the jury and a Mexican judge. They don't give a damn about the truth. The truth is no defense with these people. Jesus.
Well, I'll tell you,
this is going to be used against us as much as against them. I know people in our movement, myself included, who pray for a civil war. I hope a civil war comes. But while I'm still young enough and my eyesight is good enough to draw a bead.
Well, what I will say is this. On both sides of
the... Under your theory, I could be put in jail for what I just said. You need friends. You don't need your friends to be arrested.
When did you call for the overthrow of the United States? When did you call for the assassination of the president? Have you done that?
No. Well,
you
right.
called for the assassination of the president?
Have
you called for people
illegal.
To come become ungovernable?
All right. What I would say is this.
And when you call for the assassination of the president, yeah, your butt should be locked up.
All right. So what
That's
I would
what
say
I'm
is
saying.
This. When the shooting starts, I will get
illegal under existing law. There's no First Amendment protection.
And we've said that time
That's
and time
what
again.
I've said
we've
a thousand
said that
times.
Time and time again.
See, your law degree
is that there are laws on the book, if properly enforced, that we wouldn't need to take any extra measures. What I think, going back to the original intent of this hour, is that we have 4 years, and the media and the establishment will stymie Trump at every turn, and so he has to take measures that have been precedent before in American history, perhaps, in order to circumvent that. Today at that rally in Melbourne, he's all class. He's a man of the people. He had the Secret Service pull a random supporter who was there, who had been there since 4 a.m. That rally started 12 hours after that, 14 hours after that. Pulled a guy who had been there since 4 a.m. onto stage. The president adjusted his mic so he could address the crowd. I don't think the people would be against that if he can frame it in a law, a legal way. But I'll tell you this. Eddie, you may not believe this. Now, you're the bombardier for a reason. You're bombastic and sometimes even a loose cannon, if I may say. What I would say is that if the shooting starts, you and Don are going to be the same. Hey, you and Don are in the same trench if the flag goes up. I'll tell you that much.
I wonder.
No, you would be. And Don's a great guy, and so are you. And that's all we got time for. Thanks for all the comments. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the commentary. We'll be back next week.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.